Morning. It is my pleasure to share with you the Word of God that I have learned in the books of Hebrews. We have been studying the book of Hebrews, and in chapter 11, we notice that it is a chapter of faith. The writer begins chapter 11 by explaining the meaning of faith in verse 1, and then illustrates in a remarkable way with the great personalities of the Old Testament of how faith works in their lives. And he mentions about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, and Israel, the nation, entering the promised land, Canaan. And in verse 31, he says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. Now, it is really amazing that the writer places Rahab, the harlot, into this list of the hall of faith. Perhaps some of you want to know about Rahab. Who was Rahab? First of all, Rahab was a pagan. That means one who worshipped idols. She belonged to those people who dwell in Canaan. Number two, Rahab was a harlot. The word harlot is a vile word, and it is always associated with mortal sin. And so we see here, Rahab sold her body for commercial uses. How and when she began this sinful profession, we do not know. Thirdly, Rahab was an Ammonite, a race that God had long ago marked for destruction. Why? Why this so? Well, the Ammonites worshipped Chemosh, Milcom, Baal, and Ashtaroth. Now, these deities were brutal, vengeful, and lustful. For example, the worship of Chemosh demanded the offering of children as living sacrifice to the deity, and also the passing through fire on part of their devotees, like we've seen in the Indian religion, the Tapusan, how they walk across the fire, the coals. The worship of Baal and Ashtaroth involved immorality, and these were fertility deities, and they inspired the corruption of the people. As a result of these religious practices, the people became corrupted and wicked. It was this corruption and iniquity of the Canaanites which God promised to destroy them. Now, at the time of Abraham, God said to Abraham, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That time, not yet full. You can find this in Genesis chapter 15, verse 16. 400 years later, when the Israelites invaded Canaan, the cup of iniquity was full, and God commanded them to exterminate these corrupt and wicked people. Now we understand why God wants to destroy all these people. He gave them 400 years to repent, and they did not. So God was going to destroy them. Now, for us to think of Rahab, an Ammonite who was a woman of faith in the midst of this corrupted nation is really surprising. Let's look at the background to the story of Rahab. We all know that the older generations of the Israelites had perished in the wilderness. And God had buried Moses in a secret place in one of the valleys of Moab. And he had made Joshua to be the leaders of Israel. And Israel, God had let Israel enter into the land of Canaan. And now, Joshua had to spy out the city of Jericho. So we read in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, we have read just now. I do not want to read again to save time. We know that this mission was dangerous because Jericho was a walled city situated in an open valley and the people were on special alert. Furthermore, the presence of Israel at Jordan had made the people in Jericho suspicious of everything, especially the movement of Israel. The spies took every precaution, carefully disguising themselves and doing their best to appear like a Canaanite in clothing and in speech. They approached the city with great cautions. Probably, according to John Davies, they traveled to the north, crossed the river, moved to the west, and then came down to the city of Jericho and entered at the west gate of Jericho. Now, this was a wise move because they had the covering of the caves in the mountains west of Jericho and would less likely be detected from that side by the king. Apparently, unnoticed, they slipped into the gates and got lost in the city, sought hiding in the house of a prostitute named Rahab. Lodging in such a place was common for travelers, especially the merchants. And the spies felt that that was a safe place and also easy to escape. But their plan failed in two ways. Number one, someone saw them enter Jericho and follow them to the house of Jacob. Number two, they tried to disguise themselves, but Rahab was able to find out. Rahab discerned their identity. She knew that they were the Israelites. And so from all appearance, everything had fallen apart and they were doomed. The king was searching for them and knew where they were. And there was no escape. These are all mentioned in chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Now, if they jumped through the window, the horsemen would easily capture them. Now we come to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Here, the book of Hebrews says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. That is, by faith, Rahab welcomed the spies, concealed them, and kept them from being captured. Now, I would say that this was a courageous faith of Rahab that got her into the faith, into the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And now we are going to look at this aspect of faith from three angles. Number one, the work of faith. Number two, the nature and the development of faith. And thirdly, the reward of faith. Let's look at the work of faith. Now from verses 4 and 5, perhaps we can read verses 4 and 5 to refresh ourselves what it's all about. Joshua chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, read together, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, and I would not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gates, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I would not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. Okay, up to verse 5. This is Rahab told the soldiers, the people, about these two spies has escaped. Now these two verses present a very awkward truth about Rahab's first work of faith. Why? It is a lie. Rahab told lies to save the people, the two spies. In fact, she told three lies. Number one, what did she say? Verse 4, she said that she did not know where they came from. True or not? Not true. Rahab knew. Secondly, she said that they had gone. True or not? Not true. Still in her house, right? Thirdly, what was that? She said that she did not know where they were. And so, we have Rahab's first work of faith were lies. Now the problem is this. The question is this. Does this mean it is all right to lie in such situation? The situation ethics people will say yes, because it's okay to lie in such situation. I personally do not think so for certain reasons. Number one, the scripture records the lives of the saints such as Abraham and Isaac, if you want to, but it never approved such deception. And furthermore, the word of God condemns falsehood. What did it say in the ninth commandment? We all know, remember? Ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Against God's word. And secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ in his life provides us with supreme example of truthfulness. And he told the people, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. In other words, we must be truthful in whatever things you do and whatever things you say. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself never lied, never deceived anyone. So as believers in Christ, we are members of his body. We are obligated to do our best to live according to his example. However, Rahab's calculated lie was a great act of faith for her subsequent action. She assisted the spies in their escape through the window and also advised them to hide 3 days in the hill country. In doing so, she put her life in great danger. In great danger. If the king had discovered her doings, she would be killed for treason. One who betrayed the nation. It's a serious sin. Even today. You betray the nation, you'll be executed. And so, it's a very dangerous move. Secondly, we must also consider Rahab's lie against her background, the kind of background that she was brought up, the kind of situation she was in. Number one, she had no knowledge of the Ten Commandments given to Israel at Mount Sinai. Rahab did not know anything about all these things. Secondly, she was a victim of her own fallen nature. We all have our own fallen nature, our weaknesses, and also her background. She came from a corrupted Canaanite culture. To them, lie is very common. So she was brought up in that manner. Thirdly, she was unaware of the sinfulness of lying because the law of the Eastern hospitality surpasses the law of honesty. There is such a law in the Eastern hospitality. Don't talk about the past, even the present. Go to those few tribe areas. They follow this law. If you are in the house and they receive you, they will have the responsibility to protect you from all danger and harm. That is their culture. And so Rahab, time this was being practiced. So honoring and protecting your guests was the greatest moral imperative. When someone was sheltered in your house, you were responsible to save his or her life if you would. Hence, it is very likely that it did not occur in Rahab's mind, in her mind, that she was doing wrong. She didn't know she was doing wrong. Now, I'm not saying that her life was all right. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm thinking on the background. What I'm saying is that God recognized the motive behind her act, and that motive of saving the spies was an act of faith. Number two, Rahab trusted in a token. Rahab was very sure that God would destroy the city of Jericho. Right, we have read just now from Joshua chapter 9, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9 says, she says, I know that the Lord had given you the land. And in verse 11, she said, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And then in verse 12, she pleaded, now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And verse 13, he said that, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sister and all that have and delivered our life from death. These are the word of faith. The word of faith. And the token that the two spies gave her was a scarlet robe. And she sent the two spies away and they departed. Verse 21. Now, we come to the interpretation. This is something very critical. The interpretation of the scarlet robe. Modern scholar, I talk about Bible scholar, has suggested that the scarlet robe may have been a mark of a prostitute, and that Rahab lived in the Red Robe District. Today we call it what? The Red Light District. Right? That's what the modern scholar found out, the meaning, the uses of the scarlet. And it's very interesting when I check Westbrook Dictionary, the word scarlet. You know what I say? The word scarlet always associated with sexual immorality. Always as a... Whether it's fine, How did they? And he quoted two passages of the scripture. You see, the dictionary so called quote the Bible. One is in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So scarlet associated with sin. Okay? The second passage is from Revelation chapter 17, verse 1 onwards up to verse 5. It mentioned a few times about the scarlet woman, the scarlet woman, the scarlet woman. So the word scarlet used by King James Version is associated with immorality. Now, number two, it is also noted that since the Hebrew word for robe is the same word for hope, there may be an intentional punch here. The robe is a prostitute hope for customer. But now that Rahab has confessed Jehovah as God, her scarlet robe signifies a new kind of hope. And that is the deliverance of her family by God. New kind of hope. That's what the modern scholar have been thinking that way. You can find this also in International Bible Encyclopedia Volume 4. Talks about all these things. Now here is a word about scarlet robe is in order. Many scholars have interpreted it typologically as history of hermeneutics, history of interpretation reveals. If you study history, you'll find it in this way. And the first person that you discover who interpreted in this way is Clement of Rome. Taught that the red robe was a symbol of the blood of Christ, and Rahab was a symbol of the church, because through it she obtained safety of her family. That is, in those days they interpreted in this way. And I would say this type of allegorization is still very popular. Many, many scholars still interpret the same way. And one of them, I would like to say, is John MacArthur, also interpret in this way. And he said, nearly all faithful commentators of the Old Testament interpret scarlet cord as symbol of the blood of Christ, connecting to his future death on the cross. And some of them stretch the scarlet cord as a symbol not only of the blood of Christ, but also the life, the bloodline of Christ. That is, the ancestors of Christ. So you see the interpretation stretch further and further. Well, what do I think? I do not think that the two spies thought of the scarlet robe as a symbol of blood of Christ. Why? At that time, they did not have the revelation of the death of Christ. The Bible during that period, God did not reveal how the Lord Jesus Christ was going to die, going to shed the blood. There was no revelation at that time yet. Having said this, I must say that there is a direct connection with the Passover in Egypt 40 years earlier. All these are in history. You can quote from scripture very easily. The children of Israel were commanded to gather all their families into the house, just as Rahab did. They dipped the lamb's blood on the doorposts, and when the angel of death came, saw the blood, all the firstborn inside the house would be saved. What happened with Rahab is similar to the Passover in Egypt. It seems that the spies were not aware of the symbolism. In both cases, the red on the doorpost or window evidenced the faith of those people inside. Now, with great trust flow from her faith, Rahab separated her family from other people and waited patiently for the outcome. The act shows her trust in the promise of the two spies was an evidence of her faith. Now we come to the book of James talking about this. The book of James. James tells us that true faith produces work in chapter 2, James chapter 2 of his letter. James gives two examples. First is Abraham and then Rahab. And then he presented them as parallels, as parallels. James chapter 2 verse 21. He says concerning Abraham. Say, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Alright, that's about it. And then of Rahab, he says, likewise, the word likewise. Also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by words when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Now, James' point in these two examples emphasized the same thing about the work of faith. Abraham showed his faith at great cost. He willingly, without any hesitation, offered up his own son. Rahab's faith was also costly. She risked everything. She risked her life in order to save the two spies. So, my friend, true faith produces action, even when it is at a great cost. The question for us is this. Is our faith real? Can our faith be seen in our actions? Rahab's faith was a simple one. She did not understand everything, but she trusted God and her faith worked as she helped the two spies to escape out of the window by the scarlet robe. That is the work of faith. Now we come to the second point, the nature and the development of faith. This is found in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 31 says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. In other words, Rahab believed and the rest of the people in Jericho did not believe. The question comes in, where did Rahab receive her faith? Where is her source of faith? Where? How did she know? You know how? Answer, she heard stories about Israel from the traveling merchants who frequently used such houses of prostitution at that time. From them, Rahab heard repeatedly all the news of how about 2 million people had left the land of Egypt and were moving towards the land of Canaan. This is the first news they heard. Secondly, she also heard when they came to the Red Sea divided and made a way for them to walk across the outside of the land, and how the pursuing Egyptian had perished in the sea. She also heard of the victory of Israel against the people on the other side of Jordan, all right? And the utter destruction, destruction of Sihon and Og. These are all mentioned in the book of Joshua chapter 2. We have read just now. Other stories concerning the wilderness experience of Israel were heard through the years, a little bit here and there. That is how she received the source of her faith. And so when the two spies came to her house, she confronted them with immediate, she was confronted with an immediate decision. The greatest and the most important decisions of her life. Would she harbor the spies or would she deliver them to the authority? These are two things. What should I do? What should I do now? The spy is now with me. What should I do? Which way, which side should I stand? Well, we must also know that the spies had been seen by the people as they entered the town and went into the house of Rahab. People already watched what was going on. And the king knew. The king knew where the two spies were and demanded Rahab to hand over. That was a serious situation. Now, would she side with the children of Israel or would she side with her people, the people in Jericho? There was no neutral ground at all. She had to choose either side. Rahab believed that God, the God of Israel, who worked the miracle at the Red Sea, was able to save her and her family members from destruction. This was her faith. Immediately, she demonstrated her faith. She helped the two spies and thus identified herself with the children of Israel. The words she spoke and the demand she made from the two spies to take the vow in the name of the Lord were evidences that she believed God had given the land to Israel. She trusted God. She trusted God. Now what did she receive? We come to the third point, the reward of faith. Rahab's faith produces three rewards, three kinds of reward. First reward is this: Israel was encouraged. Read from verses 23 and 24. The children of Israel were encouraged. They were encouraged through Rahab's confession of faith. They were lifted up by the positive report that the spies brought there. They were strengthened by the deliverance given to the two spies through Rahab's testimony. So the children of Israel were all encouraged and willing to enter in to fight. Number two, Rahab and her family household were saved. She trusted the word of the two spies. She bound the scarlet line in the window, chapter 2, verse 21. According to the spies, only those in the house would be protected by the scarlet rope and would be delivered when the judgment fell upon Jericho. And she did. She believed and she was saved. Rahab did not initially have the saving faith in the spiritual sense. This is physical sense, not in the spiritual sense, in the physical sense. She did not initially have the saving faith in the spiritual sense. But as she joined Israel, she completely believed and became a full member of God's covenant people. See, later on, she understand more and then she accepted to be in the family of God's people. Ultimately, Rahab's faith saved her in every way. Third reward. Rahab not only lived in Israel the rest of her life, but she married an Israelite, and became an ancestor of Christ. How do we know? You read Matthew chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Chapter 1 is about the genealogy of Christ. And it bears out this incredible truth. In verse 5 of chapter 1, you see the word Salmon. Not the fish Salmon, it's the name. Salmon. Salmon was married Rahab. In the end, married Rahab. Then you read, do you read the name Booz? B-O-O-Z. Actually, it's Boaz. Boaz. All right. Boaz married who? Ruth. And then the name of Jesse is mentioned. Who's Jesse? The father of David. Right? The father of David. So you see, it links to the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing, isn't it? Rahab and Ammonites and prostitute became a believer and then the wife of the prince of Judah and became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did not come from a sinless human line. Every person in the human line was a sinner and in need of salvation. These include Rahab, Ruth, and even Virgin Mary. Conclusion. The remarkable and encouraging message found in Rahab's story is that God judges impenitent sinners and spares those who believe in Him. Rahab's lifestyle, and along with all other sins in the pagan city of Jericho, resulted in God's judgment. Yet Rahab escaped divine wrath because she believed in the true living God. What distinguished her from all other people in Jericho was not her superiority, morality, or great number of good deeds. It was not intelligent or better disposition. It was simply her faith in God. Rahab's faith was fully demonstrated when she risked all to help the two spies. She trusted everything to the Lord and she completely committed everything to Him, no matter what the cost. She was willing to obey God, no matter how difficult the situation. And that is how it should be for us Christians today. Our inner life of faith ought to be reflected in our outer life of faithfulness in good works. And so today, what kind of faith do we have? Do we have the faith of Rahab that people can see? Or what? Let us examine ourselves. May God help us to understand more about faith, works of faith, and to obey Him even better. So in closing, let us sing hymn 392, The Solid Rock.